Is that your desire tonight, that he fill this place? Amen. I thank God for his love, his mercy, and his amazing grace tonight. I'm going to slow things down a little bit from this morning. And I'm going to do what one old fellow said. I'm just going to flat foot stand here and tell you how it is. I believe the last week as we were traveling, I've met a lot of different people and seen a lot of different attitudes across our nation. And there's one thing that I'm convinced of. People are worried. People are concerned. People that perhaps at one time had great peace and confidence in what they held dear has now been taken away, and they're beginning to wonder what's going to happen next. I believe with all of my heart that we are living in the last seconds of God's timetable for man. I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm just trying to get you to see what hour it is in the hourglass of God. I don't believe there's many grains of sand left in that hourglass of God. And I want you to go with me to Colossians, the third chapter. Kind of an unusual topic for a Sunday night, but I felt led of the Lord to go with this. And I think it kind of builds on this morning. I want to use the thought for my message tonight, Jason. Let peace rule. Say that with me. Let peace rule. Amen. While you're turning there, let me ask you to be prayerful about one need of our church. As you notice, our choir, they sing with books. And they would like to have their hands free where they can clap if they want to and what have you. And you see the projector over my head right there that shines everything on the back wall. We want to purchase another one to shine the words on that back wall, so while they're in the choir, they're able to see the words without having to have a book. Now, how many of that's a good idea, isn't it? That way they can clap, they can have church, they can sway, do whatever they want to. They can just get down and boogie, as one old fella said. Amen. But the only way that's going to happen is for us to come up with $1,000, and that's not in the budget. So God made a way for us to get all this over my head here, and he'll make a way again to do that. Amen. We can get it put in for free. Ain't that right, James? James will help me. He's the littlest one in the building, and I'll put him up there. He's littler than Jason, and so we'll stick him up there. But I want you to be much in prayer about that. Just one more thing to help us minister a little easier. Amen. In Colossians, the third chapter, the 15th verse of Scripture, it says this, and you need to underscore this in your Bible. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, when I read that passage of Scripture, those words that said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, just kind of jumped out at me. They got my attention. How many of you have ever raised children, or even now grandchildren, or perhaps great-grands? Did you ever notice sometimes they're trying to do something, and what do you say to them? Let me help you. And what happens is most of the time they get frustrated, and because they're trying to be independent, they don't want any help, and it just finally they get to the point and they'll say, well, here, fix it. Well, you know what I'm convinced of is this, that we live in a time and in a world where the devil has just tormented us so much, and God wants to let peace reign in our lives. But notice what he says there. He says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. I'm convinced one of the things that's causing so many people so much grief is they're not letting God rule in their heart. And how that he should rule, I believe, is through that word peace. You see, we're living, I believe, I'm soon to be 57 years young. And I'm convinced that we're living in the most turbulent times that I've seen in my life. And everywhere you turn, people are turning on one another. If you've watched any of these hometown meetings, they've turned out to be hometown brawls, and they've had to bring law enforcement in, and people are upset. And it's a time in which man doesn't know about tomorrow. My generation has always kind of had a solid grip on things. We thought we knew how things were playing out, but now things have changed tremendously. And when we look at it, we become in our hearts perhaps concerned, perhaps overburdened, overtaxed as to what's going on around us. I told someone earlier in the office, I said, I'm just tired. I'm not physically tired. I'm not emotionally tired. I'm just tired. Does that make sense? How many of you think you can relate to what I'm saying? The bombardment of what's going on around us is overwhelming. The things that are happening every day, we read of yet another crisis. You know, they had the plane crash with the helicopter yesterday and just a freak accident. And they were talking about how much turmoil that has caused amongst all those families that lost someone very special. You see, I'm convinced we don't know tomorrow what tomorrow is going to bring our way. Amen. I had every intent on going someplace the other day, and I had a situation. As I was driving down the road, a gentleman decides he doesn't like where he's going, and I was on my way back from, I believe it was Southport, and this man just going down 17, I think it was, the man throws his van in reverse and is coming at me wide open, and I'm like, whoa, this is not good. And he finally, you know, makes it into a parking lot, and I was able to get stopped, but I told my wife, I said, that's just how close we are to our lives changing in which we're living in. You see, the Word of God uses this word peace. And when we think of that word peace, we think of love and joy and God's amazing grace that the choir led you in worship about tonight. We also love the idea when a preacher or a teacher talks about God's peace. When I begin to think about God's peace, it transcends anything man can come up with. Amen? But when we look at it, notice what he says here. Let God's peace rule in your life. Now that word rule is similar to our rule of umpire or arbiter. Paul's calling us to let peace be the umpire or the ruler or the decision maker in our life. Now, how many of you think that's a good command of God to listen to? Amen? It's letting God's peace rule in your life. The place where the peace of God is to rule is in our hearts. And if we've been saved, our heart nature is different than that of the world. And he says, if our heart nature has been changed, then guess what? We ought to let the peace of God rule in our lives. Our hearts are the arenas of what we call conflict and competition. Think about it. The heart is what drives us to do many of the things we do. The arena where right and wrong battle for dominion in our lives. It's so crucial that you get this tonight. You see, the opposite of living in peace would be to live a life that is characterized by what they call churning. That's an old world term. Churning and anxiety and worry. I wish I could tell you that I don't have any idea of what those things mean. But guess what? I, like you, know well what they mean today. You see, we churn about all kinds of things. I hear people all around me talking about how are they going to pay the bills. The bills are getting more and more. And if you've gone and checked your electric bill lately, you know what I mean. I mean, it's gone through the roof. We churn about how we're going to fulfill our obligations. You know, every one of us in this house tonight have obligations. And I want to challenge you today to trust God with them. You see, we churn about our career and our life decisions. One of the hardest decisions I ever made as a young man was to go into full-time ministry and to walk away from security and to walk into the place of where I say, God, not my will, but your will be done for my life and for my family. We churn about our families. Will our children be safe? Will they do all the right things? Let me tell you something. They won't. Amen? They won't. So let's get real about it. None of us have the perfect family. Amen. And so what do, though? We worry about those things. We worry about what people think, what they're going to do, or what they're going to say. Well, I want to tell you something, friend. We need to just trust God with it. Amen. You see, our parents were able to make it in their old age. We wonder about that. You know, with the new laws that they're coming out with, I shared with you a few days ago about how that they're actually trying to put a law on the books that, you know, we abort babies now in America, but they're trying to put an abortion clause in there that up to 2 years of age, if your child has any major physical handicap, that they can abort that baby. Well, guess what? If that was the case, there'd be a lot of us folks that didn't have common sense be in trouble. Amen. You know, they could look at you and say, I don't believe they've got it all together. Zap, you're out of here. And then our senior adults, you come to the time in your life that you're to enjoy life. I thank God for our seniors. I thank God for every last one of them, because you know what they've taught me? That if you'll be faithful to God, God's going to be faithful to you and bless you beyond measure. Amen. Can I get amen from the sisters back there? Amen. I tell you what, those ladies bless my heart. They've learned full well what God can do for them. We churn about the weather and its dangers. We're in the hurricane season. We've not had a good hurricane around here for a while. I don't think we've had a bad one since I moved back, so don't move me out. You might be in trouble. Amen. I'm going to hang around a while. But you know what? We can't do anything about the weather. Amen. But we worry about it constantly. I had someone email me today, and I said, you know, it's 90 degrees here. They said, it's 97 here, and when I got home from church, my air was broken. It was 87 in the house. I said, Lord bless them is all I can say. We churn about our spiritual life. Why does God seem so far away? And will God forgive me in all the things that I've done? I want to tell you something. God is faithful to forgive you if you'll ask Him. Amen. You see, we churn because it's the thing to do. You know, I don't know about you, but it would be nice to live a day without any aggravation. Some of you living right where I am, amen. I was on vacation, and James had to call me, and that's his job as director of the shelter, and he said, Pastor, we've got a situation. I hate to bother you. I don't really want to bother you, but this is something you can only handle. I said, I can handle that. That's my decision. And we handled it. Of course, we talked every day from then on out. Amen. But you see, many times we get caught up in those kind of things. And all it is a thing. I want you to say that with me. All it is a thing. And you know what? These things shall pass. Amen. We need to understand that. Notice the word that Paul uses here. He uses the word let. He's saying the choice is yours to allow peace rule over your life. It's up to us. You and I decide who's going to control our life. Think about it. How many of you have ever lost control? Amen. It's easy to do, isn't it? Circumstances. The devil gets them just right. And you know how he gets them just right? Because you're telling him how good a job he's doing. Come on now. He doesn't know what works on you till you tell him. And then when he's doing such a good job, he just keeps piling it on. Amen? So we need to understand something. We're the ones that make the decision as to how God's going to rule in our life. God forces nothing on you. I heard people used to say, well, God made me do that, or the devil made me do that. No, you are an agent of choice. I think it was old Flip Wilson used to say, woo, devil made me do it. Devil don't make you do nothing. You do it because you choose to do it. Amen. Amen. I tell these that have worked in our shelters and been a part of our shelter, I tell them, I say, when you choose to do drugs, you made that choice. But now it's time to make the right choices. And thank God they're working on it. I thank God for every one of them. They've been a joy to my life. I told John the other day, I said, you know why I like keeping you around? I said, they need to change your name from John to Jeff Foxworthy. He sounds just like him. And tells stories just like him. He's just as crazy as Jeff Foxworthy is. He's fun. But you see, he's chose to make a difference in his life. And that's the bottom line. There are four reasons I'm going to give you to let God's peace rule in your life. Number one, if you're ever going to have God's peace rule in your life, you've got to have peace with God. How many of you remember what it was like to be a sinner? Man, I used to have nightmares. I would have dreams. I'd go to revival with my parents or go to church and hear a message interpretation. Behold, I stand at the door. I'm like, quit that, you know. I'm like, God, just hush. I don't want to hear you at the door. You know, I want to live my life. I want to grow old. I want to experience life, you know. And I would hear those things. Then I'd go home and have nightmares about them. Anybody ever do that besides me? Anybody ever have a nightmare about the Lord coming and you didn't make it? Amen. Those things can be real, can't they? But you see, you've got to learn something. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ is based in us and anchored as we have peace with God. I'm convinced what's wrong with some people today is they're not at peace with God. And so guess what? Because they're not at peace with God, they're not at peace with themselves, and they definitely don't have peace with those around them. The Word of God says this in Romans 5:1. I want you to write it down. In Romans 5:1, Paul says this, "Therefore, having been justified by faith," I want you to say that with me, justified by faith, notice what he says, "we have peace with God." That's pretty simple, isn't it? Notice what it means here. That justified is a legal term in the Greek. It means to be declared innocent. When we're justified with God, we're no longer standing before Him as guilty and sinful rebels. We stand before Him perfect and innocent through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I hear people all the time say, "Well, Brother Marvin, I just can't get to that place in God that I feel like I'm forgiven." Let me tell you something. If you've prayed the sinner's prayer and you believed it knowing that God's heard it, guess what? You're as saved as I am. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer and you believe it, you become justified and you stand before Him now guiltless, sinless. You're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. You are deserving all the things that God has promised you. Amen. Think about it. So I'm justified. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He paid for our sin. He took it and gave us His perfection. Now understand something. We're not all perfect. Amen. I'll be the first to tell you, I've not reached perfection yet. But I, like Paul, have to crucify the flesh daily. Amen. So we need to understand that. He took our sin. He took it as an act of justice and mercy. And we sang about that mercy tonight in the very last song. That amazing grace. His grace has enabled us to have the kind of heart that can have the kind of peace that God wants for us to have. The Bible tells us that everyone who trusts Christ for their salvation, anyone who makes Jesus the leader and ruler of their life will be seen in the perfection of Christ. Their sins are paid for, their past is cleansed, and they're right with God. I really don't like some things in the church. We have what we call first, second, third, fourth, fifth class Christians. If you commit a certain sin, you're a first-class Christian. If you commit a certain other kind of sin, you're a second-class Christian or a third-class Christian or a fourth. I want to tell you something, that's garbage. If you're saved, in my book, there ain't but one class. That's first class all the way. But, Obama, it doesn't matter what I've done in my past. You know, I spent a day with an old friend of mine from school. He says, "You know what, in high school, everybody said about you?" I said, "What?" He said, "You were ornery. You were always getting into mischief." I said, "Hey, what can I say? That was me." He said, "But now," he said, "you're preaching, you're teaching, you're doing what God's called you to do." He said, "That's amazing how God can transform all of that." You see, that's where we've got to get, church. We've got to understand something. It doesn't matter how dark your sin is or how deep you were in sin. When God saves you, we're all on the same rock. Amen. Come on now. I'm a little tired of these people who think they're higher than me. There's some people that are so much more enlightened than us. And some of these guys get on TV and they'll say, "I've got a word from the Lord for you." And I'm like, "There ain't no new word. I've heard that before." You know, like they've got some, you know, special insight with God. Let me tell you something. I don't have to go to Charlotte to see the gifts of the Spirit operate in this church. I don't have to go anywhere else but here and worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen? Think about it. There's an Old Testament blessing that got changed because of Jesus, but I want to share it with you. It's this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and gracious to you, and the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. That's a pretty good benediction, isn't it? But you know what? Because of Jesus, there came a change about that blessing. You see, those people were familiar with those words, and it was common knowledge that because of our sin that no man could see God and live. And some could see God's shadow, or in Moses' case, who saw the afterglow of God's glory after God had passed by. But they couldn't see God face to face. You know why? Because sin was a barrier between them and God. God, who is holy, couldn't and would not have anything to do with something unholy being in His presence. The blessing takes on a new meaning because of Jesus. Listen to the rewrite. The Lord bless instead of curse you, and keep instead of cast you away. The Lord make His face shine upon you rather than His wrath, and be gracious to you rather than exercising judgment. May the Lord turn His face toward you rather than away from you, and give you peace rather than dread or terror. It's something that only the born-again child of God can experience. Amen. He looks us in the eye and smiles with a smile that's similar to that of two lovers who have been apart and now reunited. We don't see wrath, but we see the love of God. I think that's so important, but yet so missed in many of our churches today. We need that love of God like no other time. The second reason we have peace is in spite of our circumstances. The peace of God in our lives is not hindered by our circumstances. I want you to think about that. We tend to think of peace, we all do this, as the absence of outward turmoil, troubles, and trials in the world that we live. Think about it. How many of you have had a good day this past week? At least one. That meant that you didn't have any turmoil, any strife, any aggravation, no irritating phone calls. Well, guess what? The same's true in the spiritual life. We think that we're living in peace when everything's going well, and when the road is smooth, we say we're enjoying God's peace. But now I want you to hold on to your seat. In those times we enjoy the blessings of God, we need to realize something, that we're in a process of being lulled to sleep by the devil. The devil wants us to get comfortable in our relationship with God. Because the moment you get comfortable, he's got you to where he can catch you unaware. Amen? You see, we need to understand something. The peace that we're talking about is the absence of churning heart in these times of trouble, because we've inward assurance that our God is in control and all things in our life are in his perfect care. In other words, the phone can ring and bad news come, but I can remain in peace. I can get bad news the moment I walk into the parsonage, but guess what? I can still have the peace that passes all understanding. Things can go crazy in this world, and tonight we get home and there's a Fox News alert. All hell's broke loose in the world. But guess what? I can remain in peace because my hope's not in this world. My hope is well placed in God. Am I making sense to anybody? Jesus tells his disciples in the 16th chapter of John that he's going to be taken from them and that they're going to desert him. Can you imagine that? What would you think if I looked at y'all tonight and say, you know what? God showed me something. Tomorrow y'all going to leave the right slavin' in the church of God. You're going to turn your back on me and your back on God. You're going to curse God. You're going to disassociate yourselves from God. But guess what? You need to hold on a minute. I'm going to a better place. And when I get there, I'm hoping that one day you're going to join me. I want to tell you something. They had to shake their faith. It had to rattle their chain, as one fellow said. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm trying to get you to see this. The kind of peace offered by the Lord has nothing to do with circumstances in our life. Nothing at all to do. In John 14 and 27, he says, listen to this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. In other words, the peace of Christ is not like that of the world. Tomorrow, I think it is tomorrow, our president is meeting with three men from North America. They're having the North American summit. Well, guess what? Whatever comes out of that has nothing to do with my relationship with God or the peace that I have in my heart. Amen? Think about that. The peace of Christ transcends every circumstance. And then he tells us, or he tells them not to be troubled and fearful. Now, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to get you to see his peace wasn't just for the good times. His peace will keep you in the times that it feels like God is a million miles away. How many of you, be honest, you ever pray and think God don't hear you? I have. Have you ever prayed and thought, God, if I could just get one more touch, my strength, you know, that songwriter said, my strength from yesterday's gone, you know, but if I could just get a brand new touch, you know, and you tell God that, and all of a sudden it's like God's just turned you off. He's not listening. But you know what? God is always listening. Can you imagine that? One fellow said, don't worry about me getting into a car accident while I'm sitting at home. It's in the times of stress that peace of God is to rule our hearts. You see, we need to understand something. We need to love one another. We need to care about one another. We need to lift one another up. Amen. I get told by many of you every week, Pastor, I'm praying for you. Don't quit. I need all the prayers I can get. The word says in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says this. Do not be anxious about anything. I should have read that yesterday. Amen. It's easy to get anxious, isn't it? How many of you have been there? Amen. Think about it. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. If you've got ulcers, you let the devil rob you of your peace. If you've got high blood pressure, which many of us do, a lot of that comes from the devil trying to rob us of our peace. Amen. If you've got sleepless nights, oh, I've had some of them. As a pastor, you almost all night long. And you wonder why. It's because the devil is trying to rob you of your peace. But notice what that word says. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. I don't understand how I can walk through those doors feeling how I do sometimes and hear the choir sing like it does and it pick me up. Brother Jerry, I can't explain that. I can't explain how hearing a man like Brother Jones and him preach as hard as he does and how that lifts me up, but it does. I love good old-fashioned, I call it hardcore preaching, that can still lift us up out of the muck and the mire that we're living in this generation. I can't explain to you how that when it seems like bad news after bad news after bad news keeps coming at me, but yet I know that it's all going to work out in the end. Why? Because God is still in charge. And as she said in that song, the world didn't give it to me, and the world sure isn't going to take it away. Why? Because it's established in God. Can I get an amen? Amen. We need to understand that. You see, so many times we get caught up in things and we start worrying and living in constant dread. But notice Paul said it transcends all understanding. A peace that can't be explained but only experienced as we learn to trust God. I've had a lot of weird things happen to me in my 56 years. I've had a lot of things that I've never understood why they happened. But maybe years later I would run into somebody and through life's experience be able to help that individual. You know, and it's amazing to me how God will train us during those times. And then he gives you the peace to know that when you go through them again, it's for a reason. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, hey, don't know what you're going to face this week, but God is fixing you to help fix somebody else. Now, how many of you understand what I just said and you just said? Amen. Everything that happens to you happens for a reason. We might not like it, but God allows it to happen because he knows you can turn it around into something positive. Think about it. We have the peace of God. The third thing is the peace of God because of an unwavering trust in God. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 26 and 3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. In other words, God will grant his peace if we'll trust him. That's what's wrong with America today. This world is in turmoil because people aren't trusting in God. You know, an amazing thing in our currency, it says, in God we trust. Now they've got this brainstorm, we're going to take it off of it. And you know, what was it? We came out with a new silver dollar, I believe it was last year, and it didn't have in God we trust on it. And you know the amazing thing? I was so proud of some of the businesses in America. A lot of businesses in America refuse to take it as legal tender.
And people would say, well, you got to take it. It's all I've got. And the man said, I'll let you write it. One fellow I saw in an interview said, you can write an IOU, but I ain't taking nothing that takes my God off of it. And I thought, my Lord, it's time for a revolt in America. Amen. It's time we stand up and say, enough is enough. You've brought us down to a level we don't know who to trust anymore. We don't know to trust a Republican, a Democrat, a Libertarian, or a Unitarian. I want to tell you, but I can still trust in God. Amen. Amen. It's a fact of life. We can keep trust in Him. When Peter was walking out on the water, you know, the Lord said, you know, come on out. Come on out. And he starts walking. As long as he kept his eyes on the Master, he was at peace, and he was doing what no other man other than Jesus had done. But notice it even bears record that he began to look around him. He took his eyes off of the Lord. That's what's wrong with this world today. We've taken our eyes off of the Lord. They call our new president today a rock star. Everywhere he goes, people flock to see him. I'm not walking across the street to see him. He's so nervous now that he has a watch line. That if I say things about him you don't like, you can call it and turn me in. Turn me in, if you will. I don't care. I will tell him to his face. I believe he's a devil sent straight from hell. He's in this league with the Antichrist. I believe with all my heart, he is setting things up, and he is setting us for a fall. And you say, preacher, you don't need to talk. I'm telling you the real life. Unemployment. Oh, it's at 9.5. It fell a whole tenth of a percent. Tell that to the people where unemployment in their city is 19.6%. Food stamps are running out. Unemployment's running out. What's it going to do when it all runs out? You can't put on a dollar bill in Obama we trust. He ain't going to help you a whole lot. I'd rather put in God we trust. I've got peace in trusting God with my money. Amen. I've got peace in Him blessing that has His name on it. I'm here to tell you, we need to wake up in America, and we need to quit smelling tainted roses and get a hold of the rose of Sharon. Amen. I want to tell you, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, and let Him bring change to America again. Amen. We need a revival in America like no other time in history. But what's happened to the church, as I said this morning, has gone to sleep. We need to wake up. We need to smell the roses. We need to get a hold of God again and preach the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You see, some of you are going through storms right now that I can't relate to. And maybe you've got some trials of your faith like I've never seen before. But I know one thing. You will get through it if you put your trust in God. There's a peace that's anchored in knowing that God's in control and He knows what He's doing. We're to take Him at His word and follow His instruction. I clipped this out, and I want to share it with you because Sister Hattie made me think of this when she told me about her van blowing up. Suppose you went to a new car dealer. You bought a shiny new vehicle, very expensive car. I don't know if too many of them are inexpensive. And you've been driving that car for a long time, and all of a sudden, one day, it just quits running. You call the dealer from which you bought it from, and they tow it into the garage. And all this time, you're talking about how it's been a lemon ever since you bought it. You call the dealer a crook. You make all kinds of critical remarks about him and his heritage. And when you go to the dealer and begin giving him a piece of your mind that you really can't afford, the dealer just looks at you and smiles. Walks over to your vehicle, opens the glove compartment, pulls out a shiny book in a bag that's never been opened, and he shows you that this owner's manual says that every once in a while, it's a good thing to put some oil in the engine. And every now and again, you need to add some antifreeze to the radiator. And he tells you that if you do these things, your car is going to run for a long time. But you know what? We get like that car owner. When trouble comes, we often throw up our hands and curse God. We churn, we can't sleep, we feel overwhelmed, and life loses its sparkle. Think about that. We do all those things, and we come running to the Lord, and we say he hasn't done what he's promised. But he says, read the owner's manual. You know, that Jaguar that I'm driving, I don't like that car. It's got more buttons, Brother Jerry, than I care to think about. And one day, I saw these buttons overhead, and it said 1, 2, 3 on it. So I look in the owner's manual. I want to know what to do. I'd push them and nothing happened. I'm waiting for the sunroof to open, the lights to blow out or something, just something to happen. So finally, I looked through the owner's manual. I couldn't find it. I never could find out what those things meant. And finally, one day, I was sitting somewhere waiting on Sister Gwen. I said, I'm going to find out what that means. And what it meant was that if I ever had a garage with a garage door opener, I could set the code for that garage door opener. If I have a vacation house at the beach, I can set a code for the second button. If I had a house at the mountains, I could set a code for the third button. I said, I'd be lucky to get the one button, let alone all three. Amen. But I want you to see something. Without reading that book, I'd have never found out what to do. It has the most aggravating trunk lock system of any car I've ever met. You can slam it down and try to open it, and it'll say it's closed. Get in the car, and it'll say boot open. It ain't talking about the boot on your feet. It's talking about the one in the trunk. Boot open. Aggravating thing. Got to go through a system. It gets you all aggravated. Well, you know, that's the devil's design on you. He wants to aggravate you. You see, we're told to do what he tells us to do and then trust him for peace. Our peace comes from knowing that God is faithful. Last Sunday, I asked Brother Todd to preach. He preached. He told y'all he's 86 years old. I think he's 86 years young myself. Amen. That's a young man compared to some of them guys in the Bible. I think one of the little letters to God was, hey, God, let me live to be 900 like that other fellow in the Old Testament, you know? If I can get around as good as him, I'd like to live to be 900. But if I'm going to get around like I'm feeling now, take me any time, Lord, amen? How many of you know what I'm saying? Peace is this, trusting that God is in control even when circumstances seem out of control. Peace is this, trusting that God will not desert us even when we feel alone. Peace is this, resting in God's unmatched power even in the darkest night. Peace is this, claiming His forgiveness even when I feel like a failure. Peace is this, trusting His wisdom even when I feel foolish. Peace is this, being grateful and content even when I don't know or have what others have, knowing that God supplies all my need. Peace is this. It means trusting that we can do all things through the Christ who strengthens us even when we feel overwhelmed. The final fourth thing that I want to share with you is this. We've got to learn to have peace with each other. The peace of God creates peace among the body of Christ. We don't live out our lives in isolation. I've heard people, Brother Ballman, make this statement to me in my 23 years of pastor, I don't need the church. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't know what devil told you that lie, but it's a lie. I need this church. I need the fellowship of the body of Christ. Amen? I enjoy being around y'all. In a few weeks, we're going to have a family day. And I got a special announcement for you. We now have our own game for that cornhole thing. Scotty had one made for me and gave it to me as a gift. And I got to get James and them to paint it before that day. But you know what? I love the fellowship that we have on those family days. You can't beat that with a stick. It's good to just slow down and enjoy one another's company. Amen? And I think that's imperative that we do that. We need to take more time together and share one another's company. There's an old story, and I got this. I'm blessed to get some of the avenues I have to get some information. But it came from the Salvation Army, of all people. They tell us of a story of a strong-willed woman. Listen to her name. Her name was Warrior Brown because of her fiery temper. Anybody ever know anybody like that? We probably have a few Warrior Browns around here, truth be known. But it says that she would become enraged whenever she got drunk. Then one day, she had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Her entire life changed overwhelmingly. It was changed by Him dwelling inside of her. She went to an open-air meeting one night a week later, and she told everyone what Jesus had done in her life for her. Suddenly, there was an individual in the crowd that thought, well, we'll see how saved she is. You know what? The devil does that once in a while. And this gentleman, well, not a gentleman, this aggravating cuss, let's call him, picks up a potato, and he hurls it at Warrior Brown. And it hits her right in the forehead. Said it left a horrible mark there, a big old welt, big old knot on her head. And they said she shook it off. She picked up the potato and put it in her pocket. And everybody's like, whoa, Warrior Brown's really found Jesus, or she'd have killed that man. And the amazing thing was, she never said anything about it for months. They got to what they call Harvest Festival in the Salvation Army, and everybody brings things from their farm and everything in this particular community. And she comes in with about a 10-pound bag of potatoes. And she carries them up and she pours them out on the altar. And somebody looked at her kind of funny and they said, you know, that's kind of an odd offering for you, Warrior Brown, to bring. She explained that after the open-air meeting that she had cut up and planted, she named the potato an insulting potato. And what she was now presenting to the Lord was the increase. Warrior Brown had allowed the peace of Christ to umpire her life in a positive way. I want to tell you something, that's powerful. I think that'd preach by itself, don't you? Amen. You see, this woman understood what it was to be led and let the peace of God rule in your life. It makes a difference. The peace of God and the peace with each other simply go hand in hand. As the musicians come, I want to ask you a question. Where's the churning in your soul? What keeps you up at night? What causes your heart to race? What causes you to get concerned about tomorrow? Have you placed your trust in Jesus tonight? Don't have to answer it real quick. But think about it. Do you trust the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation? Are you relying on His sacrifice as the ultimate payment for your rebellion and your sin? Are you willing to rest in His provisions for your eternal home? You see, once you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, think about this. You've accepted Him as Savior, God wraps His loving arms around you. You're forgiven. Not only are you forgiven, but you're safe. One songwriter said it well, I'm sheltered in the arms of God. You may sense that things are out of control, but as long as you hold on to His hand, nothing can hurt you. See, Paul was right when he said in Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? Found another little quotation, and I want to close with this as you stand this evening. I think it's important to grasp tonight. Faith is not a blind leap in the dark. Faith is trusting the Father and God you know to be loving, kind, consistent, wise, and forgiving. At times you may feel like you're jumping into the dark, but you're not. You're not jumping into the dark, but into His arms. You may not be able to see Him, but guess what? He sees you tonight. I want to ask you, are you allowing God's peace to rule in your life? Will you bow your heads with me? Father, I've shared my heart this morning and tonight, both. God, two very important messages, two timely messages. I see, Lord, right now, God, that we are living beyond the shadow of a doubt in the final hours of this world as man knows it today. There's no doubt in my mind, Lord, the next great event that we're going to see in America and in the world is Your Son appearing in the sky, taking the dead in Christ first, and those of us that are alive and remain being transformed to rise up to meet them in the air and to be with You for all time and eternity. God, I believe that with all my heart. And it's that kind of peace, Lord, that I have that's settled in You tonight. It lets me know, God, that everything's all right and everything's okay. I ask You, Lord, tonight in this service, maybe there's someone here tonight. The devil's robbed them of their peace. Maybe he has shaken their trust in You, Lord. Maybe their confidence in you has been rattled to the uttermost parts of their life. I ask you, God, tonight to restore them, to strengthen them. You said in your word, let me do this. God, we need to let you bring peace into our lives. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask it to be done. Peace.